Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hola, fresh produce aficionados, to another healthy and glowing dose of the Global Fresh Series, your passport to the global, ever-evolving world of fruits, fields, industry trade shows, and technology, as we will be discussing later in the show. For the time being, sit back and relax, enjoy your favorite beverage. I'm your host, Juanita Galio, coming to you straight from another very interesting city, always bringing you the freshest news that produce has to offer. And today, I'm coming to you from the city that never sleeps. It's known for the city that never sleeps. Any guesses where I am today? A few more hints. This European city has the world's oldest restaurant that is still operating, Sobrino de Botín. Founded in 1725, it is famous for its flamenco and tapas culture, both of which I love. If you guessed Madrid, you guessed right. Yo soy aquí to attend Fruit Attraction, and today is the second day of the expo. Stay tuned as I take you through this international event as we come off a waterfall of trade shows. And by the way, have you been following the Produce Industry Network LinkedIn page? You must make a habit of doing this because you really will be kept up with all the latest. We have covered every local trade show within the last 2 months. I mean, just bouncing around. So on that page, you will find all the posts with the photos, interviews, video coverage, and wrap for each one of these shows that are posted there on the Produce Industry Network LinkedIn page. It's worthwhile to visit it and find out for yourself. Make some comments. If you were at the show and you see something there, make some comments about it. Tell us how you found the show. Well, for this show, Fruit Attraction, I am excited to be in Madrid. It is a vibrant city. The most challenging thing to get used to is eating dinner at 10 o'clock in the evening or later. The first time I came to Spain, I thought that I could never eat so late. But guess what? It is like a big wave that you just ride with all the other locals, the Madrileños, the tourists. And as they say, well, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. So let's get on with it and enjoy the sights and sounds of Madrid as we take another sip of our tinto de verano and another bite of tortilla española and patatas bravas. It is said to be the most popular tapa. Golden crispy potatoes topped with a bold spicy sauce that gives you just the right kick. And speaking of potatoes or patatas, this is a perfect opportunity to segue into our fabulous sponsors, one of which is a major potato supplier, and all the positive contributions they have made in our industry. Potatoes are the signature dish of our first sponsor. With crisp mornings and rich harvests, September marks the peak season for Manitoba vegetables. From hearty potatoes and carrots to fresh cabbage and beets, nothing says local like produce pick right from peak of the market fields to your fork. And our proudly Canadian first-class sponsor, proudly Manitoban, Peak of the Market, is committed to bringing you the highest, freshest quality produce straight from their fields. And their fields are indeed fresh. I know, I have walked the soil in those fields, and it's really something to feel. Turning to Colombia avocados. It's Colombia's main season, and Colombia has volumes and quality to support promotional programs. Fill that supply gap. Colombia avocados meet your growing category demand year-round. Colombia avocados, be sure to put them on your list to visit at booth 2583 during the IFPA show in just a few weeks. Now, before I tell you about today's guest and hear from our about today's show and hear from our featured guests, let's hear from one of our innovative sponsors, Jack Vandenberg.
120 years ago, in Groningen, the Netherlands, a small produce business began, trading fresh local fruits. By the 1930s, the Vandenberg family moved to Rotterdam, Europe's burgeoning fruit hub. But when the 1940s brought turmoil, they fled to America, rebuilding their legacy in fresh produce. In 1958, Jack Vandenberg became a trailblazer, importing fresh Chilean fruit to the US, opening doors to global flavors. Today, that spirit of growth and innovation continues, with sustainable packaging, carbon footprint tracking, and the finest fruit varieties. We're redefining freshness for the future. Family, fresh, innovation, celebrating a legacy 120 years in the making. This is Jack Vandenberg.
Welcome back. And I say innovative with Jack Vandenberg because they have compostable bags with their products. And if you haven't tried them, you take them out, put them in your garden or anywhere where there's a little bit of soil and just watch them break down. That is innovation. So welcome back, everyone. I have a question for you. Do you ever give a thought to your company's IT security? Well, let me answer that for you, because probably the response is no. And why? Because we never think about it. We never think it will happen to us. It's always happening to someone else. But guess what? It is happening with increased frequency within the fresh produce community. Del Monte, Dole, UNFI, most recently Whole Foods, and Taylor Farms are just a few of the companies that we know about. And what were the consequences? Employee privacy compromise, disruption in supply chain, disruption in order fulfillment resulting in empty shelves, out of stock. The worst case scenario is going out of business, which has happened in a few instances. The food and agriculture sector has been an increasing target for ransomware attacks. A report by Food and AG, ISAC, found that in 2023, food and agriculture made up about 5.5% of all ransomware operations globally. Why produce companies? Because there is a perception that the agricultural world is low-tech and not very sophisticated in securing their IT networks, leaving them vulnerable to disruption through hackers. What was once thought of as an option has now become a necessity. In today's digital world, cybersecurity isn't just about protecting company. It's about protecting trust. Trust within your organization and to your vendors. The weakest link is often a simple password, a careless click, an overlooked software update. So the real question is, how do we make security second nature, as natural as locking the front door? Think about this. What about getting hacked to have your client's information and bids stolen? Employees' records compromised, your system, order and distribution fulfillment system is down. What happens to all that fresh, perishable product that is waiting to be delivered? We are going to find out more about this growing, relevant concern from our featured guest, who has a strong background with a leading IT and cybersecurity consulting firm that specializes in supporting agribusiness and fresh produce companies, with a focus on helping growers, shippers, and distributors protect their operations from cyber threats. He will talk about the urgency of cyber hygiene in low-tech industries and keep your systems running smoothly while building resilience in a world where downtime can mean lost shipments, spoiled products, and broken trust. With deep roots in the fresh food industry, he brings both technical expertise and real-world understanding of the challenges unique to agriculture and produce. In a prelude to his introduction, let's hear from Zag Technical Services, before bringing him on the show.
Zag Technical Services, we do many things. Managed services for IT needs, including consulting. Another area of expertise for us is cybersecurity, making sure that there's awareness and risk prevention. And then the final piece is the data and software services, where whether it's software automation, data management, even AI, we have things that we can do to help your business. Those are core components that your company relies on. So we have a rich history of being able to manage these IT services so that you don't have to worry about them. You trust us so that we keep your operations going and your business going ultimately. When we talk about what AI can do for you and the time savings, even though you don't think you have something that you can just put AI in, you probably do if you have a business case that could be benefited from automation or efficiencies that are brought in. We can trust AI to do those things. And the beauty of that is you can free up time for your employees to do more meaningful work. So even if you think you may not benefit, I think it's worth a conversation because you will be surprised. We'll walk you through every step of the way and we're here to help.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome. And a big thank you to all of our sponsors, one of which we just heard from, Zag Technical Services. Today, it is my pleasure to welcome Dave McCary, a 20-year IT professional specializing in the role of computers, focusing on the production and distribution of fresh food. His experience across companies of all sizes and commodities has led him to representing Zag Technical Services, an IT services company built by and for the fresh food industry. He is the father of two adult sons based in Long Beach, California, who is passionate about the role of technology in shaping how we feed the world. Welcome to the show, Dave.
Thank you very much, Juanita. Pleased to be here.
This is an opportune time to have you because with all this increase with cybersecurity, we're curious to know what has started this trend or over how much time, how many years have you started to see an uptick in this trend?
Yeah, the last 5 years have been the real increase in cybercrime, really globally. So if you look back 20 years ago, we had things like the I love you bug, which was just a hacker in a basement trying to mess with a corporation, right? That has changed radically over the last 15, 20 years. And over the last five, cybercrime is no longer hackers in basements. This is organized crime. Think about the mafia and the mob, only instead of moving bootleg booze, they're moving ransomware and viruses on computers. So these are highly sophisticated farms run by organized criminal elements. And over the last few years, the annual revenue generated by cybercrime has surpassed the GDP of the United States.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I had no idea that it was of that much value. So yes. It sounds to me like this is just a full-time job. People go to work in companies. And would you say that they're definitely, I don't think, are they in the U.S.? Or are they mainly offshore, like in Russia or China? Any locations that were mainly they operate from?
Yeah, primarily, there are not stateside actors. We have a lot of laws that make it easy to catch them. So typically speaking, the farms where the criminals, workers, we'll call them, are operating out of can be anywhere in the world where Interpol or the U.S. do not have jurisdiction.
Indonesia.
correct. India, a variety of places that it can come from. Most of the cybercrime that is happening in corporate America comes either from China or Russia. Chinese hacking activists are typically, those criminals are after proprietary trade secrets and things like that, whereas the Russian state-sponsored criminals tend to be after money. It is a way that they fund a lot of activities in those countries. So the challenge is not just that it is a highly sophisticated, very profitable criminal enterprise, but also that it is often state-sponsored.
It's often state-sponsored?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So that that would tell me that the state is profiting from that as well then.
Yes. And with that kind of protection, It makes it very easy for the criminals to continue to expand their operations. They have the protection of the state. They're outside of U.S. and Interpol jurisdiction. And so they can operate pretty independently and quite successfully. And then over the last few years, with the advent of high-end algorithms and the world of AI, it's not even a person going after anybody. They are massive scripts that are combing every publicly facing device in the world and constantly hitting to find an entry point into an organization.
So how do they do this? It sounds like there are a number of people, just like in an office, probably in cubicles. Is it certain codes that they try to crack within companies, like kind of like trying the doorknobs or to see if the window is open? Is that how it works?
Essentially, that's a good analogy. Yeah. And typically what they find is an employee who's left the door open.
That's exactly right. What I've been seeing is that what I've been reading is that it's usually an employee that's clicked on an email they shouldn't have clicked on. You know, there's an attachment there. Or they have a very, very simple password, like 1234, something. Yes. And it's interesting. I think a while back was Paramount, one of the large film industry companies was hacked. Huge. It was either Paramount or someone in that range. And they found that there was someone who was very high up at that company and his password was actually 12345.
Yes, I think the most common password historically in the United States has been password one.
Are you serious? Password one.
Yeah. So not only are they taking advantage of poor passwords go ahead.
Dave, we're not very creative, are we?
Most humans are. And you know what? It didn't matter. For a very long time, it didn't matter. I mean, people shared passwords in our industry for a long time. They shared passwords. So, you know, today the criminals have very sophisticated ways of finding whether it's hey, you get a free Domino's pizza if you take this survey.
Right.
And some of it is they'll get into the network, they'll shadow a CFO, wait for them to go on vacation, figure out who the new person in accounting is, message that person, fake relay their message. So it looks like a real direct back and forth and gain access further from there.
I've had experience firsthand with a company that I worked with within the fresh produce industry, where one of my colleagues contacted me and asked me about it, getting an email from our boss. And I said, no, I haven't gotten this email. And it was an email asking her to go to Target and buy a few hundred dollars worth of gift card. And I'm not really I wasn't understanding. You can explain to me how this works. Mm-hmm. So she did. She being the obedient, and she was, you know, she was a little bit new, a little bit naive. Yep, she thought she was doing the right thing.
They look for
she
it.
She went out to Target and she got quite a bit, $200-$300 worth of gift cards. Mm-hmm. And after that, and then I think they asked her to go back and get more. And then that's when she called me. Are you getting this type of email? I said, no. And then when she told me, I said, you have been scammed. I said, don't do anything more. Contact the IT department. So I know that they're infiltrating, you know, within the fresh produce community, but I wasn't really sure, how does that gift card thing work? I mean, because she has the gift card, so how do they benefit from that?
Yeah, she emails them. It's typically a Visa card or a MasterCard. Okay. It's typically a gift card like that. And then they have the person email them the codes and everything, and then they go use it to buy Bitcoin.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to figure out, how do they get the gift card?
Yeah. And the amount sounds small. So, this is happening everywhere. That is very not, that's every industry. That could be your personal email that's happening with. That's that's a sheer numbers game. I would call that kind of ground level, entry level crime, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Let's say they get $500. Let's say. Well, if they can do that 1,000 times.
Oh, absolutely.
Week, it's $500,000 dollars of revenue. So it is effective, but it is really kind of the junior crime, where the real impact is having, particularly in our industry, is around locking up computer systems so that product doesn't ship unless they pay a ransom. That has been that and ACH fraud, which is faking an email chain to tell you to change your bank routing information. That's been wildly successful in the fresh food industry, but it's much less technology related and much more people training related. technology-wise, it is definitely ransomware has been. You mentioned Taylor Farms, there's Grimway, there's Ocean Mist, there's the huge Dole hack that happened a couple of years ago. Those were all ransomware instances, and it is where the cyber criminals are having their greatest success within our industry.
So you go in, ZAG Technical Services goes in and works with the company so this does not happen, to prevent it, to put the highest security possible so that it's not, you know, anything can happen, but you want to increase that probability of it not happening. So what happens with some of these companies that have not secured their systems? It happens, and then they call you going, oh my God, what do we do? I mean, yeah. At that point, what can you do?
So there's the playbook is pretty baked in. Unfortunately, it's because it's happened so much in the fresh food business, in the produce industry. ZAG in particular, their run book, I represent them because of their expertise in the industry, right? 15 years as the IT department for Taylor Farms gives them a lot of unique experience.
Yes, a lot of credibility and experience and know-how in the supply chain.
Right. So they come in, the first order of business is everything has to get shut down. Everything, every computer in the building, everything gets shut down. That's to limit its spread. The spread of
like
the virus.
Cancer. It's like a cancer. Spread. Once it's in there.
It very much is. Mm-hmm. Then once that happens, there are two pieces that need to happen. One, you have to go find out if your backups survived. So the first thing criminals will do before they lock up for ransomware, if they can get to your backups, they'll lock your backups. If they lock up your backups and your production, your main data, you're going to pay the ransom. It is almost impossible to recover from that unless you are able to start over from scratch. Hand
it's kind of like rebooting
the
system.
It's very extreme. And there are ways to deal with that. Prevention is really what you want to
That's
do.
That's the key.
That key is prevention. But for those who, and look, it's about prevention, protection and prevention, and the ease of recovery for when it happens. So, you know, I'll tell this tale as in somebody who did not really prepare well and have, you know, they don't have the mechanisms to recover. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would say this is a large percentage of our industry still to this day. And we can talk about that in a little bit if we want to, about the kind of overall investment strategy towards IT and attitude in fresh food. That being said, the first thing you have to do is shut down all systems. That means all work stops, no product ships. The clock for the perishable product begins to tick. If it is a big shipping day, you have trucks sitting in the parking lot waiting. You're now looking at fines. You're looking at drivers are going to lose road time. It becomes very time
tenuous.
Is of the essence. It's very tenuous. Everybody's stressed out. The IT department is the worst day ever for them.
Oh, I can imagine. You don't
you
go
shut
home.
It all down.
It's like NASA.
No, you don't.
You're
you don't
there
go home and you don't sleep.
You get things landed on the moon.
That's right. Exactly. So you shut everything down. Then you got to determine whether you have backups or not. Let's say you have backups. If you don't, it's all terrible. So I won't even kind of go into that. You're going to pay criminals money and teach them that you'll pay them money. And then they will set back doors to come and get you again in a few months. Oh. You really at all, only 50% of the time a ransom is paid, according to the FBI, do the criminals even give you the unlock key. So paying a ransom is the worst thing that you can do.
I would think so as well.
Every level. It also encourages the criminal's behavior. They're going to keep doing it in general if they continue to succeed. So let's say that the backups are separated, protected, and usable. You can't just restore. Now you have to go figure out where else are they. You have to make sure they're not anywhere else in the building, because if you clear them out, but they have one back door sitting on a laptop that you didn't catch, that then will go reinfect the entire organization.
It starts again.
Then you have to do whatever it takes to get yourself back online. And that can be any number of things. That really depends on what kind of IT environment you have. Are you in the cloud? Are you on physical servers in a room? And that process is best case scenario with somebody who was prepared and had it set up to recover, because the criminals, remember, if it's trillions of dollars of revenue, they're always finding new ways to get you. That's never going to end. So there is no set it, forget it, I'm not getting hit. It is constant and continuous. So when they do get hit, Taylor Farms was public about their attack, so I can speak to that. 24 hours their mainline ERP, their main business system that they move product through, was back online. Mm-hmm. And they did not miss a shipment. This is the ideal scenario. The best case scenario is you're up within 24 hours. So that really gets dependent on a whole lot of things that you and I won't dive into, but it really depends on that. That's recovery. I'll just briefly say that after that, then you have to hire a forensics team to come and figure out how did they get in. That's question number one. Mm-hmm. Question number two is, did they take any data out? Did they take personally identifiable information? Mm-hmm. Did they go into the file server, into the folder HR uses, where they downloaded a report from ADP mm-hmm. that they needed one column of data, but it pulled it all and there's social security numbers in it. And now you have to publicly disclose to your employees that their personal information.
That's what I was, that was the one adult.
It's very mm-hmm. complicated. Mm-hmm. Right. That gets very complex, right? And so once they do that and they're recovered, now you have to go through and fix everything that they took advantage of to hit you in the first place.
It's just, this is a big, big ball of wax. It just goes on and on and on. So I can see why
on and on.
It would just be worthwhile to pay to have insurance with someone like your company and just mm-hmm. be relieved of it, not have to worry about it because, again, it's happening more than not. And I mean, in other words, the probability today of you getting hit is much higher than it ever would have been. You know, in the fresh produce industry, as we both know, they're very slow to adapt to any type of new technology. Mm-hmm. I remember websites, you know, they didn't think they needed a website. And everyone has a website.
That's when I started. I started at the beginning of that world.
I remember talking to a company about the industry. Do you have a website? I go, why do we need a website? Well, today that company has a website.
Right. Yes, everybody does.
So I think it's going to get to that point where people, I think it's actually a good thing that the word gets out. I know the latest one was Whole Foods was hacked very badly. Mm-hmm. Amazon and Whole Foods. So I think it's a good thing they let people know because then people start to say, ooh, that could have been me. That could be my company. And if you're just a medium-sized avocado shipper, berry shipper, you could go out of business.
Yes. Bruce Taylor said his reasoning for talking publicly about their attack was that he wanted to treat it as a quality control event, an industry-wide quality control event. And that, you know, the rising tide lifts all mm-hmm. boats, right? That everyone benefits when we're public. Also, this is fresh food. Yeah. There's no secrets in this industry. If you get hit within 48 hours, everybody
knows.
That is
so true. You can't hide it because especially if one of your vendors is Walmart and consumers are going, why are they, there's no lettuce here today. There are no bell peppers or no this. Then it does get out there. And I've seen, we've had a lot, for example, the recalls. I mean, the recalls have just been tremendous. And it's been all over the news over the last, all summer long. There have been recalls almost every week on something within the fresh produce industry. We are not immune in this industry because we're so front and center. We are not immune to anything. You know, the celery is bad mm-hmm. or the melons aren't sweet. You know about it. Consumers really speak up.
I do.
So with that, we're going to have to wrap up soon. We always get into the thick of the really interesting discussions as the time just ticks away. And before I know it, we're right on the edge. So I'd just like to ask you if you have any takeaways, anything that you'd like to mention in terms of wrapping this up and where people could reach you or how, you know, IFPA. So please, you know, this is your chance.
Okay. You got it. I will say that an important thing for everyone in our business to note, there's no shame in getting hit with a cyber attack. These are sophisticated criminals with unlimited resources coming after your money, and it's not about you. It is global. The reason they're succeeding is because our industry has historically treated IT as a necessary nuisance. That being said, our industry is anything but technology adverse. We have the highest technology in the field, in the packing house, in the coolers, in our distribution lines across the board. It is simply, we've arrived in an era where companies need to just treat their computers the same way they do their packing mm-hmm. line, their bagger, their combine, their laser weeder. If it gets treated the same as all their other technology, I think it's a huge step for the industry. They don't need to become computer experts. They just need to embrace it as
part of what business
technology that if it's, you can't ship without mm-hmm. them. So they're very essential. So I would say that the first is there's no shame in it. The second is it's $500,000 to $1 million in cost between legal counsel and everything I described if you don't miss a shipment and you don't pay the ransom. It is a huge amount of money. And so my hope and wish for everyone in our industry is please find out where you're at. The first step is just hire a firm. Do I think it should be Zag? Of course, that's why I represent them, but it doesn't have to be. Hire an outside third-party IT security firm to come in, review your environment, and tell you as executives where your risk is so that you can do a risk-to-cost benefit analysis on how much more you want to invest in IT in order to protect yourself from the risk. But I think too many companies in our industry have no idea and are maybe even a little afraid to know. So it really is a one-step process. Once they see where they're at, investing will become a very easy decision. I've seen it 100 times now, and it's very easy, but until you know, you're kind of stuck. If you would like to talk more about it, I'll be with Zag at the Global Produce Show. It's booth 3430, and I'll be there the entire time, as will some of the folks from Zag, and I'm happy to kind of answer any questions. I would say, remember, there's no shame in it. Spend the money now to find out what your, you know, where you actually stand. And it will then kind of feed you the pathway to what's best for you. It's not a sky is falling thing. It's computers are now the most important thing in the building after the people. Yep. And I'll close with this as my kind of my foundation for why I think computers have come to a place where we just have to shift as an industry. And that is that you can lose all your product and ship somebody else's. You can lose all your production facilities and produce in someone else's. You can lose all your employees and hire new ones. But if you lose your computers, you cannot ship a single pallet until they're back online. And so as an industry, we're just moving into it. And the criminals, through the dollar amount itself, are kind of helping to push our industry. I would like to see us get ahead of the criminals and be inspired for ourselves. And let's run for the gold medal, not because the dog is chasing us.
Good words of wisdom and something very, very important. So you heard that you have the opportunity with our big trade fair, IFPA in Anaheim, to visit Zag Technical Services. So David, we're going to have to leave it there. We will certainly be stopping by your booth at IFPA.
Wonderful.
Thank you so much for joining us with this valuable information, not to scare us, but to just make us more aware. I mean, there might be some people thinking, oh, I didn't realize it was that to that level. So thank you. It has been my pleasure to have you join us today and all of our listeners. As we say here at the Produce Industry Podcast, we will see you in the orchards or on the horizon somewhere in Europe or somewhere around an IT network service. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.